Sometimes life is hard, and you just need someone to talk to. Someone who's been there and understands.
That it's about overcoming.
Inspiring others to be brave.
Friendship.
Faith.
Being real.
And living beautifully whole.
So kick back and spend some time with the girls on the Big Blue Couch.
Welcome back to the Girls on the Big Blue Couch show. It is your life coaches, Rachel and Mandy, and we are going to take a few moments and get real today. And we want to give you some life coaching tips that are going to help you grow in the area of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, leadership in crisis.
Yes.
Now, right away, as you're listening to this, I bet you're thinking, I don't need this. I'm not a leader.
But you might.
You might.
You never know.
Because really, one of the best definitions I like for leadership and to see whether or not you are really a leader is a leader is somebody who has influence over somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it that way, it doesn't matter whether you have the title of CEO or if you have the title of, you know, co-founder of a company, the boss of a company. If you have influence over somebody, you lead. And that could be your household, that could be your children, you might lead on a team at work or where you volunteer your time. We are all leaders somewhere.
And I love the fact that, you know, you might not be in that title of leadership right now,
mm-hmm.
but if you listen to this and pretty soon a crisis happens in your workplace or in your home, now you're equipped to handle
it. Absolutely.
So don't push it off thinking that there's nothing here for you because this might be exactly what you need and you don't even realize it.
Absolutely. Because crisis happens more than we care to think about. And there's kind of a scale for crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can have personal crisis that is happening in our own little sphere of where we live. Or we can have like nationwide crisis happening, worldwide crisis happening. It can be anything from natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going through a season where we have a lot of storms happening in North Dakota. It's, you know, prime time for tornadoes. All of that kind of stuff are natural disasters that lead to crisis. But it can be something like a car accident
mm-hmm.
or a terminal medical diagnosis. Any of these things can really rock our belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where good leaders need to rise up and know how to deal with it. But it gets even bigger than that. Stuff that splashed across our TV screens, whether it's crimes of terror, like a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
We see this a lot more frequently than we used to. Racial discord.
Right.
Kidnappings. There's acts of war happening all the time. There's crisis all over the place. And when you have influence over somebody else, when you have the title of leader, whether you have the title or not, we need to know how to respond to crisis and how to react to the strong emotions that happen because of crisis.
And I think all of the things that have happened in our nation in the last couple of months
mm-hmm.
Have really kind of been the inspiration for this episode.
Yep, absolutely.
And I know, Rachel, you actually shared this a couple months ago on North Dakota Today.
Yes.
By the time that this actually comes out, it'll be a couple months ago. And so we want to share how to lead in a crisis. And
mm-hmm.
you actually have some steps to do that.
Yes.
But I love how it really does. I mean, there have been things happening all across the nation for months.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it seems like one thing after another, just depending on where you're at.
It does sometimes.
And so it's always good to be prepared because you just never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And actually, this topic came up because of the shooting that happened in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all watched different leaders rise to the occasion or really crumble
mm-hmm.
underneath crisis. And the thing that was really that I really marveled at about the shooting that happened in Charleston was how the pastors and the leaders
mm-hmm.
of Charleston
they
stood
did a phenomenal
up
job.
To this. And they really were able to keep a lot of things from happening that could have made
mm-hmm.
it so much worse, like whether there were riots that would have happened or anything. You know, when there's a lot of racial tension, things
yes.
can go and spiral really, really quickly if a leader doesn't rise up and deal with the crisis right away. And so that's really what sparked this topic
mm-hmm.
of leadership in crisis and how they do that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first tip for how to lead in a crisis is make the tough decisions.
nobody really likes to do this. They don't really like to be the one. I think there are people out there who, yeah, I want to be a leader. I want to be a leader.
Yep.
But then when it comes time to make those tough decisions,
mm-hmm.
it's hard. It's not fun
right.
to make those type of decisions.
Right. And it can be something as small, maybe, as even just having to make a business decision that you don't want to mm-hmm. make, whether it's firing an employee or it can be something with leadership in your family. It doesn't have to be a nationwide crisis for you to have to know that making the tough decisions is something a leader has to stand up and do. No one likes to handle questions that we don't think we have the answer to.
Right.
And this is something that somebody who's leading in a crisis has to do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, sometimes we don't have the answers. But a leader knows that to lead well, they have to make those tough choices. They can't just wait to
right.
see if something will happen or wait to see if somebody else will stand up and do it instead of them. They make the choices that nobody else wants to. And here's the big kicker why. They provide assurance over all of those people that they have influence over.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a calming thing when somebody else rises up
right.
to make those tough decisions. Everybody else that you have influence over or is influenced by this event
mm-hmm.
can kind of breathe a little bit, and they don't have to feel like nobody's in control, because that leads to panic.
Right. And especially with, you know, in a crisis situation, tough decisions need to happen fast.
Quickly. Yep.
They can't take a week.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can't even take a day.
Right.
They have to happen fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you'll find that the people who have the title of leader don't have the training
right.
to lead in that situation. And somebody else rises up who is a quick thinker
mm-hmm.
and isn't paralyzed
right.
by what's happening.
Right. Yeah, we all react differently.
We do.
To crisis. And sometimes we react differently depending if it's a work crisis or a family crisis. I know mm-hmm. I react way better when I know my children are involved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much quicker of a thinker when I have to think for somebody else. And that's really leadership for anybody. Because if you have influence over somebody, you need to be able to think quickly
right.
and make those decisions instead of waiting around for somebody else to do it.
So the second tip is to prepare your families. I like this. Prepare your families. Keep them in the know.
Keep them in the know. Because oftentimes we think if there's crisis happening in maybe our work,
mm-hmm.
we shouldn't take that home.
Right.
And that's actually not a great way to deal with crisis, because your family is going to realize something is going on.
Yep.
Whether you think you're hiding it well or not, it's going to affect you emotionally. It's going to affect you mm-hmm. in your attitude. It'll affect the kind of words you say. It'll affect how short your fuse is with your family. Well, so if there's something going on that maybe they don't have really anything to do with,
mm-hmm.
but it's a crisis you're walking through as an adult in that family, tell your kids at least some of what's going on. Share with your spouse
mm-hmm.
what's going on. Prepare your families. If it's a family crisis, you should be talking
right.
to your family, to your kids. Yeah, we want to shelter our kids and keep them innocent for as long as we can. But when crisis happens, they need to be prepared. They need to know someone's in control.
And with the way that social media and the news is these days, they are going to find out about it.
Oh, absolutely.
If it is a big crisis that is affecting your community.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's one that is affecting your family, but it made the news.
Right.
They yep. need to be prepared. How are we going to handle this as a family?
Right. Absolutely. And our kids see way more than we realize.
Way more.
And they're not going to always come out with asking the questions, like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Kids will often internalize things. And so we need to be proactive as adults to make sure that we're taking the steps to prepare them the way that they need to. That's age appropriate.
Absolutely. The third tip is to take care of yourself too. This can be probably one of the hardest ones to do as a leader.
Yes.
Because you feel like you have to be everything to everybody.
Well, when you're leading in the middle of a crisis, all of a sudden you're leading from a stage. It's like leading
yeah.
from a fishbowl, and all eyes are on you
mm-hmm.
and what you're going to do next. And if it's something that maybe went into the media, they really are. All eyes
right.
are on you. And when crisis happens, no matter where you're at, we look for our leaders to step up.
Mm-hmm.
We look for them to step forward. And sometimes as a society, sometimes as a family, sometimes as a business, we suck our leaders dry
yes.
in the midst of crisis. And so we need to make sure as leaders that we are taking care of ourselves emotionally. Mm-hmm. We're taking care of ourselves spiritually. It might be a time that you need to be calling a counselor. You need to be calling a pastor or a leader that you trust, that yep. you will be able to talk through this with, because you're going to have your own emotions about the crisis. And oftentimes it'll be afterwards mm-hmm. because, you know, adrenaline and all those kinds of things are going to keep you moving through the crisis. Mm-hmm. And then after, you're going to have all this emotion that you're going to need to learn how to deal with.
And you're going to have to realize that you need to put up the boundary of taking care of yourself physically, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Make sure you're eating. Mm-hmm. Make sure that even if you aren't able to fall asleep because of what's happening, mm-hmm. at least make sure that you're giving your body that time to rest away from other people, away from your electronics.
Yep.
Just away from the situation as mm-hmm. much as possible.
Absolutely.
So, Rachel, you have some real-life application tips that you've written down, and I don't have any of them in my notes because of the way our notes are today. So what
so
is what,
to me.
Number one? It's up to you.
Okay, so number one is if you are in a season of crisis, if that's where you find yourself, whether it's family or business, whatever, and you're the one who's supposed to be rising up and making a decision, and you're not— my challenge for you this week is to give yourself a time limit. Maybe it's 24 hours. Maybe it's by the end of the week. Whenever you're listening to this, give yourself a time limit of when you will make this decision and tell somebody else what that time limit is going to be, because mm-hmm. you need somebody to keep you accountable to make that decision.
I want to add that even if there isn't a crisis happening in your life right now, this is a great challenge to do anyway,
mm-hmm.
because what it's going to do is it's going to get you in the habit of practicing yep. making tough decisions quickly.
Yep, absolutely. So the second real life application, which ties into preparing your families, is if you're walking through a season, whether it's crisis or even just a season of change in your family, this week, schedule a family meeting to happen mm. with you, your spouse, your children, whoever is involved in the situation. And before that meeting, prep for how you're going to talk to them and what you're going to say, because it depends on the age of your kids. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of resources. You just have to Google maybe what specific situation it is and add talking to your kids to the end of it. And you're going to find all kinds of resources that'll help you talk to your kids about certain things that are happening.
Hmm.
So number three, when you're walking through a crisis, you need to keep you a priority. And what happens is you get really tempted to take yourself out of any kind of scheduling that you have. That would mm-hmm. be going to the gym, going and getting a massage, going and talking with a friend. We get so busy in our crisis that we take those things off. So your challenge this week is if, A, you don't have anything scheduled, schedule something just for yourself to get away. And if you do have stuff, do not take it off just because life is busy and chaotic right now. Keep that stuff on your schedule.
Those are really great tips. And so I want to encourage all of our listeners to rewind this podcast mm-hmm. and listen to it again.
Yep.
Because now that you've gotten to the end of it, and maybe there's some skeptical Susies out there who have been like, oh, maybe this wasn't for me. And now you're here and you're like, oh, it was for me. I should have listened to it again. Rewind it.
Yeah, that's the great thing about a podcast. Yeah. You can listen to
it's
it over
live.
And over again.
You can rewind it and listen to it again and really put this kind of in your arsenal of tools
mm-hmm, absolutely.
For leadership tools
mm-hmm.
So that you listen to it from time to time just right. to keep yourself up to date
right.
with, oh, yeah, what am I supposed to do in a crisis? Because crisis happens to all of us at different times in our
yeah.
lives.
And usually we're not prepared. We don't get a handwritten
Correct.
Note saying crisis is
no.
coming tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Wouldn't
be ready.
Lovely.
So, yeah, that would be nice, but
we'd
it
all run away in the other direction probably.
So be proactive. I mean, that's not one
yes.
of the tips we have on here, but it's definitely one that, you know, as you're getting to the end of this, be proactive. Put mm-hmm. this somewhere with some other things that you just save, whether it's information that you like or whatever, that when crisis happens, you can pull this out again
mm-hmm.
and listen to it and remind yourself of how do I do this well?
Absolutely. And we want to thank you so much for joining us for this Real Talk segment of the Girls on the Big Blue Couch show. Stay tuned, because coming up next, we have some great walk by faith tips in our faith coaching segment of today's show. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Living beautifully whole requires skills. And Big Blue Couch Coaching has just what you need with monthly life coaching workshops designed just for you. For all the latest dates and details, visit www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com/workshops.
Welcome to Walk by Faith. I am Joette Knapp, a professional life coach here at Big Blue Couch Coaching, and each Monday I bring you a daily boost of faith and encouragement to help you be brave, overcome obstacles, and live beautifully whole. Today's scripture reference comes from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it's one of my life verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Going through a divorce can knock the confidence out of even the most secure woman. Even after you've gone through counseling and mentally you are in a better place than when you heard, "I want a divorce," you're still not moving forward. Why not? Because you need a confidence boost. Not sure where to start? I understand. But I learned some things in my journey to find confidence after divorce, and I want to share those with you. I have three things that worked well for me. Number one, maintain your healthy friendships. Your girlfriends will be your lifeline to recovery. They are also your best source for rebuilding your confidence. Women need girl time. We need to talk about life. That's how we process everything that happens to us. We are also great at giving each other compliments. Your friends know how hard the divorce has been on you. They've watched the process, and more than likely, they cried with you in those awful early days. Now it's time to have fun and find the new fabulous you, and they will be key to that success. My friends were so vital to me rebuilding my life and finding my confidence after divorce. They made sure I was never lonely and went out of their way to make my new life special. Number two, take time for yourself. It's just like when you're on an airplane and they tell you to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you help anybody else. You need to do that here too. You need to take care of yourself first. This is vitally important if you have children in the home with you. You can't take care of your children if you still can't breathe. Your children take their cues from you, so getting your confidence back is important to all of you. It's not being selfish to let the household chores go for an hour or two once in a while to read a book or work on a crossword puzzle. Anything that you enjoy doing but don't do because it seems selfish should be on your list. Finding time to do things outside of the home can be a challenge if finances are an issue, but this is why you maintain your friendships. You're going to draw on your friends to help you here too. Find a couple of friends who are willing to swap babysitting with you. It won't cost you anything, and when it's your turn to reciprocate, you'll know you are helping someone else too. Number three, create the new you with self-improvement. You need to create the new you after divorce. You will accomplish this by improving your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. Here are three exercises that will assist in this step. First, take time every day to make a list of at least five things that you are thankful for. This exercise reminds you of all the good things in your life, and this step will help you emotionally, mentally, and spiritually create the new you. Second, write positive statements on post-it notes and place them everywhere. The Bible is full of verses that can uplift you and fill your mind with positive thoughts. This exercise will redirect all those negative thoughts that are constantly running through your mind and help you find some peace and clarity. Third, reinvent yourself. Now, this one might take a little pre-planning, but it's well worth it. Again, you may need to draw on your friends for help in this step, for babysitting, or to recruit your friends as partners in crime. Plan a day where you and a friend go to the makeup counter at a department store for a makeover. It's free, and you don't have to purchase anything, but you will see the beautiful person you've become. Next, go to one of the little boutiques that are popping up all over, and with their assistance, find a fabulous outfit. Again, you don't need to purchase anything, but the transformation can be amazing, and when you are ready, you'll know how to put that outfit together again. This is a great step to make sure your outside now reflects the confident woman you are inside. There is life after divorce, and sometimes it can be even better than before. Allow God to work through this season to refine you and to build you into His beautiful, confident woman. He can move you to a place where you are not just surviving, but where you and your children are thriving. It is possible to boost your confidence after a divorce. I'm honored to spend time with you each week to help you take a step of faith. Make sure you take time to meditate on this week's challenge on taking care of yourself after a divorce. Journal if you have anything that comes to mind. And thanks for spending time with me, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Nate, and I'm one of the men in the den here at Big Blue Couch Coaching. Be sure to invite your friends to spend some time with us every Monday for the Girls on the Big Blue Couch Show. You can listen on iTunes and Stitcher, or now watch us on YouTube. And as always, stay plugged in for all the latest coaching articles and free resources from the girls at www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com.
Hey, it's Mandy, and I just want to thank you again for hanging out with us today on the Big Blue Couch. And we want to leave you with a truth statement that you can speak every day this week whenever you feel bombarded with lies or overwhelmed with your circumstances. So write this down on a sticky note or post it on your phone. Post it somewhere where you will see it every day so you can pull it out and use it. Here is your truth statement for this week. I am confident. I'll say it again. I am confident. All right. Thanks so much. We'll see you again in a few weeks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Big Blue Couch. For all the latest updates, free resources, upcoming events, and coaching services, be sure to visit www.bigbluecouchcoaching.com. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter for daily connection with the team. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Remember to tune in next week for more tips on living beautifully whole with the girls on the Big Blue Couch.